Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
So we are going to get right into the message tonight. I won't keep you standing much, much longer. Don't sit down. Wait. We're going to read three scriptures because here at LifeGate Church, we believe in standing for the word. And then I'll pray and I will let you guys sit down. Y'all ready? All right. I hope you're ready. So the first scripture that I want to read tonight is out of 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11. I'm sorry. And it says this, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against the attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. After you have suffered for a little while, just a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete you, confirm you, strengthen and establish you, making you what you ought to be. To him be dominion, power, authority, sovereignty, forever and ever. Our second verse tonight is out of Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. And the last scripture tonight is John 14:6. And it said, Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time that we have here. We thank you for your presence, God, that you are present in this place. God, that you're speaking a life-giving word tonight. God, that you're going to encourage your people, Father, that they will not leave the same way that they came in tonight, God. Thank you that you're always changing us. Thank you that you're always speaking to us and encouraging us and giving us new strengths and new hope. And Father, I just pray tonight, God, that you would just change this place, God, that you would change the way that we see things, God, that you would change our lives, God, the things that we're facing, God, that you would change and turn circumstances around, Father. God, I pray tonight that your people would know that the weight that they are bearing is worth it, God. Everything that they're facing, their trials, their tribulations, God, they would know that the weight is worth it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Now what I want you to do is on your way down, tell your favorite neighbor, the wait is worth it. The wait is worth it. Now I know we've only been like 30 seconds into this, so you're probably like, wow, you just offended me twice now. I now have a neighbor that I know I'm not their favorite. And it sounds like we're going to talk about wait. Nobody likes to talk about wait, right? And while you may be right about not wanting to talk about our physical wait, it's my hope tonight that before you leave here, you will gain the understanding to know that the wait is worth it. Now, when we hear this word wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, I'm just going to spell it out. We think of scales, right? We think of pounds. We think of small people. We think of large people. That's the kind of things that comes to mind. A weight is something that either we put on over the years or it's something that we take off. When I think of weight, I think of my kids. You see, I weighed a certain amount of pounds before I realized that I took a pregnancy test and I was pregnant, right? When I found out that that pregnancy test showed positive, I then gained 70 pounds. Not healthy. I don't suggest it, so please don't. But after I delivered my 10-pound babies, because that's how Pritchard's roll, I guess, you know, we just have 10-pound babies, that's hey, I began to watch my weight come back off. And something that I realized in that transition of having kids, of that waiting period, of gaining the 70 pounds, every time I lost the 70 pounds, I ended up pregnant again. Every time. Every time. And I told Jesus, I said, Jesus, I see you. You think you're funny, right? And Pastor always tells us, you know, God has a sense of humor. I believe that God has a sense of humor. So what did I do? I took matters into my own hands. I said, you know what, God? I got this. I solved the solution. I got this. No more losing weight for me, because I cannot handle the weight of another kid. And all the parents of kids said yes and amen. Well, your kids must not weigh you down, but mine do. That's okay. But when I think about weight, I also think about the waiting period. It took me 9 months to gain that 70 pounds, right? But then it took me 18 months to get that 70 pounds back off. Time after time after time, I had to choose that stinking chicken breast, those pickles, and those tomatoes with salt, those baked chips over the glorious chicken nuggets that McDonald's sells right down the street, right? Who does that? I'll tell you who. Somebody who is desperately trying to get the weight off. Now, I didn't come again to preach to you tonight about the physical weight, although to some of us it's a concern, myself included. I'm the first to raise my hand. And while weight is a valid concern, we must know that we're not to become obsessed with our body. Because we, like we learned on Sunday, if you were here, Pastor preached an incredible word. Man, it was so weighty in here. God just moved something incredible. But we knew and we learned that our body, our shell, that's not the thing that's going to get us into heaven. It ain't about how good we look, how good our hair is, how good our nails is, how good our J's look. It's not about how on point we are. But in that, I think when we think about those things, we forget to know that somebody who maybe goes to the gym all the time, is real buff, real toned, that they can be just as guilty as somebody who overeats, right? It's about the heart. You see, body weight and outward image are so overemphasized in our society today, in our schools, at our work, in our job, in our clubs that we attend, in the church. And it's all at the expense of our inward character. You see, like I said, God is not worried about your size. Although he wants you to take care of your body, he is more worried about your stewardship. Are you supervising the way that he wants you to with what he's given you? Again, it's about our hearts. It's about our motives. We've got to check our motives. Matthew 4:4 in the scripture reads, but Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This then tells us that God is seeking to teach us to live a balanced life. Bread for the physical and God's word for the spiritual. But I'm afraid that as a Christian church and as Christians, most of the time we want to look good in the natural, right? We want to look lighter in the physical realm. But 9 times out of 10, when we come across this weight of carrying Christ's name and carrying that cross, we can't handle it. We can't handle the weight of God that God is using in the spiritual realm to release what's in the supernatural. But tonight I've been commissioned to come here and to tell somebody that the weight that you are bearing tonight is worth it. Tell your neighbor, it is worth it. Now, for some of you that don't know, I've only been saved about 8 years, so make sure you don't like throw tomatoes or anything like that at me. But over the 8 years of my relationship with Christ, I've come to know that he is not calling us to bear a weight that we can't handle, but rather he is pushing us into everything that he has created us to be. You see, about 4 months ago, I found myself, I was struggling. I was struggling in my current position, who I was, and the weight of everything came tumbling on me. The weight at work, the weight at home, the weight at church, the weight in my family, the weight of being a mother, the weight of being a wife, the list goes on. One day I had sat and listened to a sermon, and it was so God timely. Does anybody know that our God is always on time? Amen. He is always on time. This word was so God timely for me. And during the sermon, the preacher had said, I want you to take out a piece of paper or something, a note card, and write this down somewhere and stick it where you will see it every single day. And what he told us to write down is, this is significant. So because I am a hearer of the word, we all hear tonight, right? I'm also a doer of the word. There's a big difference. So I did what he just said. I wrote down, sat there at my desk, wrote on the note card, this is significant. I then stuck it up at my desk, and I told God, I said, Lord, I don't know what this is about, but I'm trusting in you because you know everything that I'm facing, the weight that I'm bearing, and this is significant. So up into this message, I didn't realize the power that was actually taking place in my life as I was reading that this is significant every single day, speaking it over myself. Now, most of you know that I do work a full-time job, a secular job outside of the church. I think sometimes when we see new faces and new people, they just assume, they only see surface level stuff like, oh, she must work for the church because she's always here. She always has the time to be here when the doors are open. And that's why she's so involved, is because she's a paid volunteer. But if you actually knew, you would be one of the many other people that says, I don't know how you do it. I get that all the time. You are a wife, a mother of three active boys. I'm going to say that again. A mother of three active boys. You have a full-time job. You're the youth leader. And the list goes on. But this was when God began to show me the significance of that this is significant. And when he did, I sat at my desk that day and I wept. The weight that I felt from work, from home, from my kids, from the church, everything had come to light. The weight that I was bearing was for his purpose. The weight that I was bearing is for his destiny that's on my life. The weight that I was bearing is for the calling that he has on my life. And I came here tonight to tell somebody that that weight that you are carrying tonight, it is worth it. It is worth every ounce of your energy, of your time, who you are, because God has you in mind. He has your purpose in mind. He has your destiny in mind. It is so, so, so worth it. And as I began to realize those things, they were heavy on me. And I knew that God was saying, you need to bring this to the people. You need to bring hope to them, bring some light to them, bring liberty to them. Now, some of you may have come here tonight and you said, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm kind of on the verge of God's requiring too much for me. I don't know if I can do this. I'm trying my best, but I don't have everything that I need to get to where I'm supposed to be. This being saved thing is really just too hard. There's too many rules. There's too many laws and obligations, and I just don't know if I can do it. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, God doesn't want to use me. I'm not good enough for him. Or I feel like I'm just not going to make it. I don't know how much more I can take. But one thing that I learned in this process, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, is to never possess what you want to release. Never possess what you want to release. And I don't want you to feel condemned, because I've been exactly in that place about 4 months ago. I was speaking those things over myself. I don't have what it takes to be the youth leader. I don't have what it takes to be a good mom. I don't have what it takes to be the best wife that I can be. But as I began to listen and realize what I was saying, I found out I was just making excuses. And you may be in the same place tonight, but let me tell you that God is here, and he is here to help you. You see, when you're ready to quit, you are so much closer than you really think. What if I told you that you're ready to quit because you have a lack of ownership? Are you really bought in to walk out the life that God is calling you to? Or did you really mean it? And when you said, yes, God, I'm your child. I want to live for you. I want to be saved. I want to be a part of your kingdom. Are you ready to quit because you don't want to put in the time anymore that it takes to know who God is? You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to fast. Can I encourage you tonight that all of those weights that you feel, maybe from every area of your life, that heaviness, something that you can handle. You see, when it gets heavy, that's when the nature of our faith is revealed. If your faith is never challenged, you will never be changed. I'm going to say that again. If your faith is never challenged, you will never be changed. Challenges are good, right? There's another scripture I want to read, and it's James 1, 2 through 4. And it says, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Romans 5, 3 through 4 says this as well. And not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings. We all like to do that, right? Let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that the hardship, the weight, the heaviness, the distress, the pressure, the trouble produces patient endurance. And endurance, proving character, spiritual maturity, and proving character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. These scriptures are reminding us tonight that the weight is worth it. That weight of the job is worth it. The weight of your schoolwork is worth it. The weight of living out your life for God, it's so worth it. The weight from your home life is worth it. The weight of the trials that you face is worth it. The weight that nobody else sees that you can handle is worth it. The weight of God's promises that you have not seen come to pass is worth it. Whatever you're facing tonight, know that it's worth it. And God sees you right where you are. I'm not saying it's easy, but what I'm saying is it's worth it. I think sometimes we tend to look at weight with the wrong eyes, right? I'm going to give you a few scriptures here, and I'm not going to read them for the sake of time, but I want you to know that the weight is worth it. The weight that you're feeling is worth it because it's testing your identity. Matthew 13, 1 through 23. I love seeing our students take notes, by the way. The weight that you're feeling is testing your faith. Faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. The weight that you are feeling is testing your purpose. James 1, verse 2. The weight that you are feeling is testing your obedience. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. The weight that you are feeling is testing your heart to rely on God. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. Tell your neighbor, the weight is worth it. Now, if you didn't realize, point number one, kind of go in the same vein as our pastor does. We always have like 3 points. So point number one was the weight is worth it, right? Point number two tonight is also the weight is worth it. Now you're probably like, what? What do you mean? So that word weight in the second point is the W-A-I-T. Tell your neighbor the weight. Oh, tell your other favorite neighbor. I'm sorry. The weight is worth it. And I'll wait for you. Now, the word weight is defined as used to indicate one that is eagerly impatient to do something or for something to happen. Eagerly impatient. Anybody ever been there? You've been impatient. You're waiting on something to happen, and it's just not happening. And I feel like this is a subject that's really near and dear to my heart because I feel like 95% of the time, I'm pretty patient. I can wait. Everyone loves waiting, right? No, you ain't got the same testimony. Okay, I'll pray for you. But maybe you're here tonight and you're waiting for that right man or that right woman, that right boy or the right girlfriend. That's just going to make life so much better. Maybe you're waiting for that perfect job that you're just going to love every day, that when you wake up, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to work. It's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome day. I just love my job, right? Maybe you're waiting for the perfect house where you're like, yes, this is so sweet. Got the white picket fence. Got it all together. Maybe you're waiting for that perfect marriage for your husband to change because he's crazy, or for your wife to stop nagging. Maybe you're waiting for your money to get right and have just everything lined up, order, nothing goes wrong, no cars go out, you know, you got all your bills paid. Maybe you're waiting to go to that perfect school for college, that you're going to get all them scholarships, you're just waiting. Maybe you're waiting for perfect relationships, or maybe you're waiting for those perfect friendships. Maybe you're here tonight waiting for that perfect car, or if you're like me, you're still waiting for them perfect kids. I love my kids. I love my kids. Or maybe you're here tonight standing and waiting on that yes from God. Maybe you're here tonight standing and waiting for that breakthrough that you've been seeking time after time after time. Maybe you're here waiting for that pain that's been tormenting you in the middle of the night to just go away. Maybe you are here tonight waiting for the healing that you know that you need. Waiting is so hard to do. In the waiting process, I think that we tend to forget about the power that's in the waiting process. Because not only do we have issues waiting in the flesh, but we also have issues waiting in the supernatural, right? We say, God, I know you said don't date that so-and-so dude, but man, he is fine. And if I don't date him right now, some other chick is going to get him. Or maybe God spoke to you and said, hey, don't buy that house. Don't buy that car. Don't go into debt. That's not what I have for you. But because you want to keep up with the Joneses and everybody else on the block, you do buy the perfect house and the perfect car. Or maybe God is saying, don't take that job. That's not the one that I have for you. Don't go to those places. That's not the place that I have for you. Don't stay in that relationship. It's toxic. But we are fallen humanity, and what do? We tend to take things into our own hands and don't listen to God. We don't wait for what he says we should wait for. And partly I think it's because we don't really understand what the word wait means in the Bible. You see, it means confident expectation and hope. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint. Such hope in God's promises never disappoint us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, waiting is in essence us trusting God's goodness. No matter what we think or how we feel, waiting on God shows him that we trust him in all of his ways, all of his ways, and not ours. Psalm 69:3 says, I am weary with my crying, my throat is parched, my eyes fail while I wait with confident expectation for my God. And oftentimes when I find myself waiting, I too find myself weary with my crying out to God. I find myself, my voice weak when I'm crying out to God, like I said. I find myself tired and anxious and nervous with, God, what's going to happen next? How am I going to make it? How can this be? And I realize that in those times, those are the times that you are waiting in your flesh. And when you wait in your flesh, you do not bear the fruit of the Spirit. You see, God is calling us to wait on him. And just as we are waiting on God, guess what? He is waiting on us. He is waiting for us to exchange our weakness for his strength. And that's why we as a people of God have got to get to the place where we see, or the way that we see the waiting period has to change. You see, God reminded me that the waiting on him is just like you would wait for a loved one that you are so, so excited about that's coming into town. A loved one coming into town. You know, the ones that you like. But those who are so, so eager with anticipation are so excited that those loved ones are coming in town. They wait, like I said, with anticipation. They wait with eagerness. They wait with excitement. They wait with the confidence and that they're going to show up. They wait with the passion and their love that they have for them. Are you waiting on God in those ways? Are you waiting on God with fear and with doubt and with worry and anxiety? That's something you'll have to, like I said, talk up with God and figure it out. I want to transition to this 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And the Bible talks about a man named Paul. And I really can't contain myself, but I have to say this. Paul, Sid, some of y'all get that. Now I know how Pastor gets off on these bunny trails because, you know, you think of stuff and, yeah, okay. Anyways, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Ouch. A thorn in my flesh. A messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. And you're probably like, what does this have to do with waiting on God, right? It then says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away from me. He's talking about this thorn that he had in his side. I don't know if you heard me, but I'll say it again. He had a thorn in his side. And he asked God three different times, take it away. Each time God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Here Paul is again. Please take this thorn out of my side. God says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And I'm going to say it one more time because that's how many times he said it. Three different times. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. The scripture then goes to say, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in my insults, in the weight that I'm carrying, in the hardships, in the heaviness, in the persecutions, in the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we can learn here in this scripture as Paul gained the spiritual insight and the revelation from God, he realized that thorn in his side, that was a protective suffering meant by God to keep him away from the pride which was sin in his life. So could it be that in our waiting period, God is behind the scenes? He's protecting us from a potential sin that maybe we don't even see. Could it be that we can't see it? It's because we're so busy looking at the waiting period with the wrong perception of what waiting really is. We also see in this teaching of Paul's that God didn't remove the thorn just like Paul had asked. He said it three times. So that indicates to us that he waited each time. You see, God didn't give Paul what he wanted when he wanted it, but what he did give Paul was a place to be still in the bearing of the pain in the process that he was facing. And we have got to come to the realization that in our waiting period, God will fight for us. For the Bible says in Exodus 14:14, to just be still. Anybody, can you just be still, God's saying? The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. But because we're too busy waiting with fear and with doubt, we can't stay calm. You have got to know that waiting requires rest. So tonight, it's my prayer that you will rest in God. Tell your neighbor, the wait is worth it. Now you may be saying, why is the wait worth it? I'm going to help you tonight. The wait is worth it because challenges are often passed to true change. When I walked into church 8 years ago, that was a challenge for me. I didn't go to church when I was youth. I wasn't raised in church. I think my mom tried to put me in church, but they said I was too mean. Like I would pull people's hair and do mean stuff, so I didn't get to go. I don't know what that was about, but it was a challenge for me to even step foot inside of a church. And maybe you're here tonight, and it was a challenge for you to get here tonight. But what I can tell you and what I can encourage you with is that day that I stepped in that church, it was a challenge, but it forever changed my life when I said, yes, God, I'm going to live for you. I know you're going to work out everything. And even up to this day, the trials and the tribulations, and many of you have been in the faith for long, way longer than I have, you know that true challenges are passed to true changes. You see, the weight also builds our patience with God and with God's people. I don't know, but I'm going to be real with you tonight. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, God, I need you to hurry up. You know, I'm not being patient, but I don't know how this is going to work out. But what are you doing, God? I need your help. Or, God, these are your people. Like, they're acting cray-cray. I'm going to need you to get your people, right? The waiting period produces patience that God is trying to give you. The waiting period also builds us up, as God is always working on our character. You should be better tomorrow than you was today. You should be better today than you was tomorrow. And that's because the Bible says that we go from glory to glory to glory. He is wanting to change us all the time. Change is good and change is okay. So in that waiting period, know that God is changing you for the betterment of yourself. The wait also is an act of faith. You may be facing a trial today where you say, God, I don't see you, I don't sense you, I don't feel you, I have no idea what you're doing, but I trust in you. I trust that you're gonna come through, I trust that you're gonna make a way, and that right there is an act of waiting. Waiting is an act of faith, right? You are waiting in that moment. You're working your faith out. And the bottom line is that we will wait on what we believe to be reliable. You see, a lack of waiting on God shows that you're not convinced he's reliable and that he'll take care of you. We wait because we believe God comes through every single time for his babies. So my question tonight to you is, who or what are you waiting on? Is it God or is it that relationship? Are you waiting to be happy again, depending on that relationship, when that man says yes, when that girl says yes? Are you happy because of the joy of the Lord? Are you wanting to do better? Are you wanting to be better? That's my question for you tonight. And I want you to know also, in case you forgot, you serve a God who is so worth the wait. Tell your neighbor, he's worth the wait. Amen. And the fact of the matter is also, we will wait for something that we know we are gonna benefit from, right? Why do you think all these people go out on Black Friday, Thanksgiving Day, they stand in those horrendous, cold, long, long lines? They wait. Why? Because they know that they're going to save some dollars in their pocket and they will benefit. Why do you think that you will see a lot of teenagers at Worlds of Fun in the summer who will stand in line for 3 hours for the Patriot and they're only going to get 2 minutes of pleasure? They do it because they know it's fun and it's something that they will wait for. Or why do you think you might have seen me at Sonic yesterday buying up 20 50-cent corn dogs? Because I knew I could benefit from saving some money, so I went and I waited in line. Or how about them new J's that are coming out Saturday, where you gotta go get the ticket and then you gotta stand in line for 12 hours? People wait. Or you might have been one recently who went to the Andy Mineo concert, and you waited in line for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, because you know it was worth it, right? And best believe, if anybody is giving anything away for free, you are gonna wait, right? You see, my point here tonight is that we will wait on things that we think we're gonna benefit from in the natural, but yet when it comes to the things of God, we don't wanna wait for anything for the supernatural. We don't wanna wait for the guidance that God has for us. We don't wanna wait for that healing that we need. We don't wanna wait for things to get better. So what do again? We tend to take things into our own hands. And I've come to realize that we live in a culture today where everyone wants to win, but nobody wants to wait. We live in a culture where everyone wants the power, but don't know the art of the pause. Tell someone the wait is worth it. Have y'all ever heard of the five W's and the one H? All right. Some of you, good. If you have never heard of it, it is the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. And most of the times we all ask these questions, right? Who's going? When is it going to take place? How is it going to go down? Where is it going to be? But there's one that produces the most anxiety, and that is when. Out of all of those, the one that produces the most anxiety is when. Everyone wants to know, when am I going to see God move this mountain? When am I going to see God change my family? When am I going to see God change my circumstances that I'm facing? When will I see God give me favor? When will I see God give me breakthrough? When will I see God give me victory? And what if God is saying to us tonight, you will see it when you rest in me. You will see it when you trust in me. You will see it when you stay calm in me. You will see it when you put your hope in me. You will see it when you change your perception of the weight. You will see it when you realize that I'm the one who's behind the scenes working it out, and I am worth the wait. Tell your neighbor, he is worth the wait. Now listen, y'all, I hope you're not getting bored with me. This is my first time having like 20 notes or 20 pages of notes, so I'm working it out, but this is what God is saying to us tonight. I'm going to move on to 1 Kings 19:11-13, and this scripture reads, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him, and as Elisha stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. So here we see a man waiting on the mountain. And that mountain represents obstacles. And he's doing just what God had told him to do. But notice in the scripture it says, the Lord passed by. Then the mighty windstorm came. Then there was an earthquake. Then there was the fire. And each time the scripture says, but the Lord was not in the wind. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. Could it be that Elijah was in a waiting period as each storm was passing by? Could it be tonight that you're in your waiting period because God is preparing your purpose? We know that a storm in life can be intimidating. We know it can be intimidating to be in an earthquake. We know that it can be intimidating to be in a fire. We know that it can be intimidating to feel the pressure and the weight of life. And that's just it. We've all been here. We all know that these things are real and that we all go through them. But I think tonight that God is saying to us, do not worry. The waiting period is worth it. It's worth it because I'm preparing a place just for you. It's worth it because I'm preparing the purpose that I put inside of you. It's worth it because I'm preparing the power that I'm releasing to you. It's worth it because I'm preparing the pain into passion. Amen? Amen. My favorite part of that scripture, though, is after all the storms, after all the fire, after all the earthquake, that small whisper. There is nothing like the whisper of God. Maybe tonight God is whispering to you as you're in this place. But just like Elisha, hold on to that whisper. Hold on to that word and know that every weight, every storm, every obstacle that you are facing, God is so much greater than that. For every enemy that's against you, you are an overcomer. Know that you serve a God who will turn it around, and we serve a God who is worth the wait. Amen? Y'all ready to wait? All right, I hope so. I know I'm waiting patiently for God to do some incredible things in my life. And it's my prayer tonight that you don't just sit here and hear somebody else say it for their own life, but that you are sitting there saying, yes, I am so with you. I am waiting for God to do an awesome work in my life. Amen? You see, it's because we have a hope and we know that God is so, so good. So I'm going to wrap it up here. I will let you go in just a few, but I want to point out to you my third and final point. This will be my closing point, and I promise I won't take 20 minutes. You know how preachers be doing that? I ain't there yet. Maybe one day. But point number three, one is the wait is worth it, W-E-I-G-H-T. Number two, the wait, W-A-I-T. And number three is the way is worth it. Now for me, there's nothing more frustrating than someone telling me to do something, but they don't show me how to do it, right? I can tell my oldest son, Cash, all day, hey, bud, go change over the laundry, go clean your room, change the baby's diaper, take the trash out, and his list goes on because I'm teaching him to be a responsible young man. Amen? But if I never show him how to do those things, he ends up in a state of helplessness and hopelessness. So point three, like I said, we're going to talk about God's way of doing things. After all, that should be our goal, right? If you claim Christianity, it should be our goal that we are walking in God's ways and not our ways. And I know that's something that we face time and time again, because of the world that we live in. We all think and we say it. We sometimes think that we know that we say it. I don't know if I just said that right, but that's all right. We all think from time to time, well, my way is better. I think it'll be better this way. Or I think we should do it my way. Or my ideals are better. My thoughts regarding that, they're better than yours. But I came to just tweak your thinking tonight just a little bit. Because what I have learned is our way of thinking is not always the right way. I tend to think my way, and it gets me in trouble 99.9% of the time, right? Why do you think we struggle with the weight from every area that's facing us? It's because we think we're doing everything right, or we're not really listening to what God is telling us to do. Why do you think that we're struggling with waiting on God to move? It's because we fight against our way versus God's way. And in the Bible, it says, Proverbs 16:25, there is a path, there is a way before each person that seems right. It seems right, it looks good, it must be the way, I have fun doing it, but in all actuality, it ends in death. And it's because, again, we are fallen humanity that we think that we know what's right. In all actuality, we always, usually, end up headed down the wrong path. I find hope, though, in Ephesians 4:23, and it says, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. So many countless of times I have told maybe some of you that are in this room tonight, or my family, I think I've told them, maybe those of that are not even saved, but I tell them, I learn so much from God. I learn about him, I learn about his character, and I also learn about me because he reveals the truths for my life. And I just don't understand why people are not running with his word, with what he says for their lives. I just don't get it. And that's when God led me to this Ephesians 4:23. They haven't let the Spirit change their way of thinking. When I became a believer and I really started to let God change me, it wasn't until then that I was open up to say, God, change me, speak to me, reveal to me who you want me to be. That's when I realized, wow, my thinking was pretty jacked up. It was pretty jaded. Like, I can't even believe I was that girl, right? And I think that most time we hear those things from people who might say, you know, I tried the Bible thing, I tried the God thing, but that Bible is just so contradicting. Like you read one scripture and then you flip over to another scripture and it just doesn't make sense with what it's saying. But I came to tell you tonight that God's word and God's way is not contradicting, but better yet, it's counterintuitive. Now, that's a big word. It was big for me, so I had to go and be like, okay, what does this really mean? I didn't understand the full truth of it. You see, because big words and blonde hair, no offense to any of the other blondes, but it just doesn't mesh well for me sometimes. I got to really dig it out, right? So this word is contrary to what one would intuitively expect. I think that's that word. Let me give you an example. So one that you can understand. It may seem counterintuitive, but we do burn calories when we are sleeping. Who would have ever known, right? That just doesn't seem right because you're like laying there, you ain't doing anything, but somehow you're still burning calories. So does that give you a little bit of better explanation? Hopefully, yes. Okay. So we can say, although God's ways seem counterintuitive, he says, basically, an example is, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Doesn't everybody just love to do that? Yeah. No. Now, who in their right mind would do that? I'll tell you who. Those who go after God's way. You see, like just like Noah, he was building an ark, saying, you know, the world's going to flood, telling everybody. He had people laughing at him, like calling him stupid. All this stuff. He's building a boat. They'd never even seen the rain, but guess what? It was counterintuitive. Crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, the Red Sea, a sea, but yet you crossed it on dry ground, is counterintuitive. Facing Goliath without armor is counterintuitive. Marching around Jericho is counterintuitive. Walking on water is counterintuitive. Saying that it's better to give versus receive is counterintuitive. Saying don't repay evil for evil, that's counterintuitive. It's often contrary to what common sense would suggest, right? Every biblical hero did things that were counterintuitive to the world's way. And as I close, I want to leave you with just one word that will change everything of the weight that you're carrying tonight. And that word is obedience. You see, obedience to God's way unlocks God's power and his ability to release his way of thinking into your life. If you would stand up with me tonight. I'm going to leave you with three more scriptures. So if you're writing it down, go ahead and do it. And then what I want you to do with these scriptures throughout the week is really just zone in on them. Ask God to reveal things to you, to speak to you in ways that you've never heard them. The first one is Ephesians 4:22, and it talks about getting rid of your old ways. The second one is Romans 12, verse 2, and it talks about changing the way that we think. The third one is Ephesians 4, verse 24, and it talks about developing good new habits.